The no is literally an opportunity for you to figure out what you did, what you said, or the timing in which you're presenting offers to people. And I started looking at no as next opportunity. That's all it was. It was an opportunity for me to grow, an opportunity for me to learn. Like I said, again, instances, phrases, objections, rebuttals. You know, I started looking at my, you know, we talk about game film. You know, I started looking at my film and listening to my calls, the ones that I wasn't able to close, to, you know, hear like, I don't like how I'm stuttering here, or I don't like how I asked that question, or I think it might have took me too long to pitch a price, or I pitched a price too soon. So it's just like going back and not taking no as you're not capable, but taking no as you're not ready. What can you do to get ready?
But Kai, I appreciate you, you know, stopping by. Welcome to The Art of Being Freed. Mm-hmm. Pleasure to have you. And I'm looking forward to this conversation. So I was hoping to talk with you about monetizing your creativity. And one of the things that I loved when I first talked with you, you gave me the idea to expand upon the niche that I was considering, which was growth mindset, or mindset just in general. And you were like, hey, you can kind of dive deeper into mindset, right? It doesn't just have to be mindset. So you kind of opened my mind to like just expanding.
Perfect name, by the way, brother. I love the concept of the art of being freed. You know, it's like, not only is it a play on your name, but just when you talk about mindset, it's like, it just gives people the confidence that the people that you bring on, the conversations that you're having, they're allowing them to get one step closer to just freeing themselves of, you know, any hesitation, freeing themselves of any inconsistencies, you know, just a whole lot of mindset things that we need to do to become before we even arrive at the destination that we're hoping to get at.
That's amazing. I appreciate that. And I'm happy to have you on and just kind of converse about monetizing, you know, your creativity, because when you talk about bringing people on and having this mindset of growing, the other side of that is from a creative perspective, specifically as an artist, you know, how can I monetize this, you know, this gift? And there are a lot of people in this community for the Art of Being Freed who are talented. They're artists, they're musicians, they're athletes, and they're figuring out like, how can I take my gift and monetize it versus just having a, you know, go to 9 to 5, right? So I was hoping we could talk about that. And, you know, you're someone who, you know, has been in corporate sales. So in your journey from corporate sales to, you know, just becoming a successful content producer, it looks like you generated over 1.2 million, right? Yeah. What pivotal mindset shifts did you make that other, you know, aspiring entrepreneurs or creators can learn from?
Man, that's a great question, Freed. And I would say like the biggest mindset shift that helped me unlock those sales and get more consistent with closing deals was just not looking at no the same. A lot of times when we step into business, we hear no and we look at that as this brick wall, this huge wall that we have to climb over, when in all actuality, that wall doesn't exist at all. The no is literally an opportunity for you to figure out what you did, what you said, or the timing in which you're presenting, you know, offers to people. And I started looking at no as next opportunity. That's all it was. It was an opportunity for me to grow, an opportunity for me to learn. Like I said, again, instances, phrases, objections, rebuttals, all types of things. You know, I started looking at my, you know, we talk about game film. You know, I started looking at my film and listening to my calls, the ones that I wasn't able to close, to, you know, hear like, I don't like how I'm stuttering here, or I don't like how I asked that question, or I think it might have took me too long to, you know, to pitch a price, or I pitched a price too soon. So it's just like going back and not taking no as you're not capable, but taking no as you're not ready. What can you do to get ready? And when you have that mindset, you start to look at life, you start to look at opportunities in business like, you know, let me just get ready so I don't let me stay ready so I don't have to get ready. And that's just always doing the things to get 1% better each day, not trying to swing for the fence and, you know, close a $1 million deal on your first conversation.
That's so dope. I love the concept of not letting a no stop you. And then also that preparation. Preparation is key. I mean, how often do people just get up and go? Right. And
right.
And just someone that's been in sales, I've been in sales for, you know, 20 years. I'll have the best month ever. Right. All types of commission, whatever. But mm-hmm. I remember most the sales that I didn't get. It's like, why didn't I get that? What did I do to, or what did I not do? Right. And it sometimes it's not me, but there's always, like you said, a chance to get 1% better. And reviewing the game tape, like that's a key. Like that's something, again, people just get up and go, right? And
yeah.
If you just add that element of preparation in any way, you know, it doesn't even have to be like this massive hour long intense, you know, focus, which you can do. But even if you just start by just, you know, little things, am I saying a lot? Like little, there's always one thing you could do to, you know, get better.
And to add to what you're saying too, if you think back on the days that you were going to work, think about the difference of your day when you woke up late, like you missed your alarm, and then now you're scrambling, you're trying to find your, you know, your outfit to, you know, to go, you're trying to get, grab your keys and get in the car and just rush out. You're most likely going to have a worse day in those instances than if you woke up before your alarm. You could take your time, get your coffee, your tea, whatever floats your boat. You know, you can maybe open up with some meditation or some prayer. You know, you're not feeling like you're rushing in traffic. You get to kind of drive at your own pace. You have a much better day when you have that time for preparation, meditation, and reflection, as opposed to just getting up and now you're scattered brained and just running around with your head cut off.
I love it. You should certainly take some time to get up a little earlier, because it just makes a big difference. Like if you're telling me, if I get up 3 hours early and take the time to write, journal, meditate, re-work out, and that 3 hours is going to impact the remaining part of my day, right? Like that's a sacrifice worth making. So versus getting up and just like, oh, I got to get this, I got to get that, I got to get my coffee, I got all this stuff. So I really like that. And a lot of that for me, that kind of ties into mindset. So I'm going to kind of open it back up to you. Now, you host the number one hub for creators and entrepreneurs, the Million Dollar Mind podcast, which I think is an amazing name. Could you share some of the most valuable insights or just hacks in general that you've learned from your podcast guest about attracting opportunities in the world of entrepreneurship and creativity?
The idea of the Million Dollar Mind is, again, like we talked about before, is just creating the mindset and the tools internally to become something before you actually arrive. A lot of people have goals and aspirations of arriving at $1 million, arriving at $100 million, but they haven't become the person who can even sustain, maintain, or even obtain, you know, that $1 million. So the whole goal was to bring on entrepreneurs that are actually doing these things, that are actually in the grunt work, in the grind of running, you know, multi-million-dollar businesses, from coaches and consultants, to have them talk about not just their practical hacks, but also those mindset hacks, the things that they had to overcome. And so that's where the mindset comes into. But as far as the hub for creators, you know, we also want to bring in content creators, and we also want to revert it back to, how can you find the things that you're passionate about, and how can you monetize that passion so that you're able to transition from the mundaneness of life of doing a job? Because most people think you're being a responsible adult by having a job. But the responsible adult is having a job that you love so that you don't even feel like you're working. Because when you have a job that you don't enjoy, that is not aligned with your passions and your purpose, it drains so much more energy so that you don't even have the energy to commit to getting those skills, increasing that craft, getting better 1% every day. Because after that 8 to 9 hour shift, you come home, and what does that look like when you're drained? It looks like a 2 hour to 3 hour decompression of watching Netflix, scrolling on social media, because you don't even have the energy and the bandwidth mentally to think, what if, how can I get closer to who I am at my core? And so that's why the first step is always identifying what that passion and that purpose is. And don't just, a lot of people think they have to dive straight into entrepreneurship. You don't have to do that at all. You can identify some jobs and some gigs that are also aligned. Like right now, I'm not even fully self-employed. I'm now employed at a private school that is directly aligned with what I do as a producer and as a creative. So it's not even pulling me in a different direction. I'm able to work and spend my time at the school, but even partial of the time that I'm spending at the school, I'm working on myself and my personal brand as well. And so if we could all identify what that looks like for us internally, we'll be in a much better place. And believe it or not, jobs are abundant. You know, we like to think that, oh, well, Kai, what if I can't find a job that's aligned with my passion? I guarantee you that you are just looking under the wrong rock. And there are a million rocks that you can look under to find that job that is aligned, at least to give you one of the five skills you need to be improving on. And then when it no longer serves you, transition to the next job. Identify what that next job and opportunity may look like to give you the next skill and the next skill and the next skill.
Man, Kai, you said so much I want to get into, but before I even ask or comment on that, you said one of the five skills that you need. I'm going to go off script. If someone should have five skills that's in a creative space and wants to start making money for themselves, just off the top, could you name like five skills that they should have?
Absolutely. So I would say five skills as a content creator, no matter what the niche or the industry you're trying to delve into, I would say is number one, storytelling. Number two, I would say not necessarily, you don't have to know how to do these things technically, but I would say just to have a good and strong communication skill so that if you're not the one doing the editing and all the producing, you know how to communicate your vision to someone who is skilled at doing these things. Number three, I would say sales. And this is also related to storytelling and communication all in one. But at the end of the day, we're building content to build a business as well. And you don't have a business if you don't know sales. If you don't know how to generate income for that business, you don't have a business. You have an expensive hobby. So sales. Next, I would say is time management. And this is a conundrum for me because I don't feel like time management is actually a real thing. But for sake of the conversation and understanding what I mean by it, time management, meaning batching your content, creating schedules and sticking by those schedules, right? I love to leverage Google Calendar. Everything is on my Google Calendar, color coded from production days to time that I spend with my wife to time that I spend editing to time that I spend in meetings, you name it, it's color coded. And then the last skill I would say is this is like an intangible skill, the skill to override those mental insecurities. The times that your brain is idle are the times that your brain is telling you you can't. You have to have the mental fortitude to tell yourself you can when your brain is trying to trick you and tell you that you can't.
Bro, that was so fire. That was so fire. Hey, and one of the things I always tell people, because a lot of people, so much you said, like people have demonized the 9-to-5 and It's making people broke out here because they feel like, right. And I've been a part of that. Like, I don't need this 9-to-5. I'm going to quit and I'm going to go be an entrepreneur and just arrive. Right. But it's the grunt work. You talked about the grunt work earlier. Jim Rohn, I always quote Jim Rohn. He's often quoted. One of the things he said once is if you become a millionaire, if you win the lottery, basically, and you win $1 million, you better become a millionaire quick. People win the lottery, they lose the money because they don't have the discipline. Right. So I put out a video, it goes viral. I don't know what to do because I haven't disciplined myself to know what to do. Like, I haven't prepared for the expectation of what I want. People want things, but they don't prepare for that receipt, right? Like, yeah. When they receive it, they're like, oh, I'm not ready. I thought I was, right? So, and I always tell people, if you're going to get a job, like, sales is like one of the top skills you can learn because you could be broke 1 month and then have this big month in sales and all of a sudden everything change. One call can change everything for you. So I'm big into sales, and I'm really thankful that you were able to kind of go over those five skills. And time management, if you really get into time management, that's also going to help you to increase your organization skills. You talked about the Google Calendar and how everything is color-coded. Like, it's really important to see what you want. And a big part of that is having it written down, having it like curated, like this time I'm going to do the editing. So I really like what you said there. So a couple more questions and we'll wrap up. Here's one. So there are a lot of aspiring creators and entrepreneurs, and they face moments of doubt and uncertainty. And I'd like for you to just provide some examples of how you've overcome adversity and used a growth mindset to continue on your path of creating opportunities and doing what you love.
Yeah. I mean, great reference to what you mentioned was just, you know, listening to a couple Jim Rohn quotes, and not to quote one specifically, but I don't try to reinvent the wheel. Anytime that I'm struggling mentally with just my own ability to create the life that I like, I go back to the Jim Rohns, the Les Browns, the Eric Thomases. I go back and I listen to those guys to remind myself, because you can't have it both ways. You can't have it, I want to have $1 million, but I'm not going to look past the curtain of every millionaire that I know on Instagram or social media and ignore the fact that they didn't arrive there overnight. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I also like to listen to Mr. Beast, and I watch some of his, I don't watch his content, but I watch his interviews, you know, where he talks about how he makes the content and the things that he had to do to get to where his channel is now. And it's all about acknowledging the valley of disappointment. We have to start acknowledging that valley of when things go low, like when you have to go into that corner and just pound out the work and just do the work and not look at when the things are high. Oh, I got my money. Let me spend my money and let me go buy the things that I wanted to get with it. You know, let me go spend time with the people that we look at that, but we don't look at, oh, I got a little bit of money. Let me invest all of it into my operations. No one talks about that because it's not sexy. Nobody talks about, oh yeah, they made 10K, but they didn't spend a dime of it on themselves. They spent the whole 10K on YouTube ads, new production equipment. Like, no one talks about these things. And so if we can acknowledge that valley of disappointment, if we can acknowledge that it's not going to be your first, fifth, or 10th video that's going to make you go viral, you're probably not even going to go viral on your 100th video as far as YouTube, right? When we start acknowledging things like that, when we start acknowledging that it's not about going viral, it's about being authentic. When we start acknowledging the things that are not clickbait, when we start acknowledging the things that are not trendy words, when we start acknowledging the practices that are not sexy in business, right? We have to just trick our brains to do the gray activities, the gray task of becoming a success, whatever that looks like for you.
That's dope. Yeah, there's a lot there that you mentioned. And it one thing that you said at the end was whatever success looks like for you. And I know one of the challenges I had when I started to create content was I was wanting to go viral. And that isn't and shouldn't be the end goal. If I could give any advice to any content creator, it would be to focus on building a body of work that's authentically you, like you mentioned. And that's something that's very hard to come by. And I'm noticing there's going to be a shift away from like the buzzwords and like seven things to do now if you want to be a millionaire next year. Like, that's going to go away. People are going to stop gravitating toward those clickbaity, viral-y titles, and they're going to gravitate toward folks who are willing to be their authentic selves, right? Versus, yeah, you know, all these jump cuts and, hey, look at me, right? So I've enjoyed having this conversation because we're getting a little deeper into like the grunt work, the gray area, like what it takes, the preparation. So if you could sum up what it would take to monetize your creativity, you know, what would that be? What would that look like in a one or two sentences? Like, what would it take?
Yeah, I would say it takes visualizing your ideal funnel. creating a funnel where you have a lead generator, you have your first upsell, you have a downsell, and then you have your high ticket item at the bottom. If you can create a funnel where your lead generator is your main content, and you start to idealize who your avatar is or who your guest avatar is, and figure out what can I create that is of value to this one person. And when I mean one person, I mean specifically one person, not a group, one person. Because if it hits that person so hard, you aim small, you miss small. I'll say that. You know, you want to create a product that is so specific to one person, like they can't help but to buy it. And we have so many similarities as other people, you know, so it will automatically, you know, sell itself to others. So you don't have to worry about that. But when we create a product that is for everybody, like we like to say, I want to make a podcast for everybody, you end up talking or targeting no one. Because they can't identify with it, because it's trying to reach too many people. It's not that one thing that hits my heart the hardest. So I would say that create a funnel, build off of an avatar, and create a product that is specific to that one person.
That's dope. Now, let me ask you this real quick for my listeners in the community that don't know what a funnel is. An avatar is the person that you want to, your ideal target, right? That one person. Can you just explain at a base level, what is a funnel?
Yeah, so a funnel is a process. Consider a funnel like a story. If you can take that avatar, this person, they're the main character, and you bring them through the story from start to finish, the story is the funnel. So that the story, the journey is the funnel, and the avatar is the main character.
That's amazing. Thank you. Those are terms I've heard. I've certainly heard funnel before, and I know what it looks like, but I just wanted to kind of get it broken down in layman's terms. So you take this avatar, which is this one person that you're the person that you would like to provide this service for. And then you've got this funnel, which provides as like a journey, a story for this person. So that's something we could certainly dig a little deeper into in a different conversation. But that's like the type of things that people, you know, they don't know where to start. They don't know about the avatar. They don't know about the funnel. They just make a product and put it out and kind of hope and pray, or spray and pray, as we call it in sales, where you just make a bunch of dials and hope that something sticks, right?
And the funnel helps you eliminate the people with the main character syndrome. So like, you might have people at your front door knocking as if they are your avatar, but they're really not. The funnel helps you eliminate people that have no business at your front door in the first place.
Give me one example, and I'm trying not to get too off script. Give me one example of how.
Right. So let's say, because it's a process, it's a journey. So at each portion of the funnel, there's a step that the avatar has to take to prove to you that they are indeed your avatar, that they are your main character. If they cannot fulfill in that portion of, or in that phase of the funnel, that means that they were not for you in the first place. And the reason why you don't want people that are not for you is because this eliminates chargebacks on your products. This eliminates bad reviews. This eliminates the people that are not getting results in your coaching business. This eliminates a whole lot of errors that people are seeing because they're running ads. They have a product that's not really fit for one person. A whole bunch of the wrong people are buying these products and services, not getting the value that they wanted, not getting let's just wrap it up at the value that they wanted, and then they're getting bad results. But that can be avoided when you have a specific person you're targeting, and the funnel singles out that person as, this product is for you. Here, that's why the high ticket is at the bottom, not at the top, because we don't even want you thinking about this high ticket until you can prove that you're even the person that this high ticket is for.
My guy Kai Speaks just spitting flames today on The Art of Being Freed, right? Spitting hot fire like Dylon. Kai, I want to definitely welcome you back to The Art of Being Freed at any time. This has been I've learned a ton. Like, I'm looking forward to putting this podcast out. Last question for me. I'll kick it over to you. Just let the folks, the listeners in the community know where they can find you, what projects you may have coming up, and just anything about your services, feel free to, you know, just spit a little bit about that. I'll mute out and let you do your thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I appreciate the opportunity again, Freed. Look, thinking about Apollo and Creed. Man, but it's been a blessing, man. And just to wrap things up, you can find me on, you know, my website at www.kyspeaks.com. That's QUIYSPEAKS.com. That's where you can see all of my productions from other podcasts that I've produced. The community, which is the creators community. This is that hub that Freed talked about, as far as where we provide resources and tools for content creators to learn how to monetize and give them the actual practical things that it takes to monetize, like creating a community, you know, nurturing that community. Where do we even find members that could be a part of our community? Creating content, you know, content hacks and tips for creating the best content. All these things that we talk about in our Discord channel. We meet on Tuesdays at 6:30 live on Zoom every single Tuesday. And if that's something that you want to be a part of, again, you can go to kyspeaks.com/community to get more information on that creators community.
Amazing. Well, Kai, I certainly appreciate you coming through on today's episode of The Art of Being Free. This has been an amazing interview. You're again welcome back at any time. Until next time, this is your boy Freed with The Art of Being Freed. Make sure you leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening to this at, and I will see you soon. Peace.